Okay? Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray that we will have a time during the outing where you will bless, where you will be present, and it will be a time of encouraging each other. May we have a good time of fellowship together. We pray that you build this sense of bond with not just among ourselves, but also with the YAG as a bigger group. We pray for today as we study your word once again. We ask the Lord that you will open our eyes and help us to understand your word. And we pray that you will lead us and guide us in all things that we do in life. So be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we come to the penultimate lesson from Ecclesiastes. Wow, we have covered 12 chapters. I'm tempted to ask you, what have you learned from these 12 chapters? Really, I mean, it would be nice if you all can reflect, ask yourself, what is it that you have learned from this book that you would like to take with you after we finish this book? Because I've taught many lessons, many thoughts, many discussions, many questions raised. What is it that you can say that you have learned this and you want to take with you after we finish this book? Because if you don't do that, you are going to forget many of these lessons. Okay, so take the time, review this book, and next week will be our last lesson. Okay, now today we're going to talk about how Solomon went about preparing his writings. Okay, so he wrote a lot of proverbs, proverbial sayings. He wrote Ecclesiastes, he wrote two Psalms. And so how did he go about preparing? How did he go about writing? What was his thought process? Now, today we're going to study a passage that I think we touched on from the very first lesson. I don't know whether you remember. Okay, the very first lesson. Any of you were around then? No, some of you, most of you weren't around. So, okay, very first lesson we had, we touched on this, okay? Now, well, good, none of you are around, so let's deal with it. Okay, this is one passage I memorized. It's a good passage to memorize. And this is basically how Solomon went about. So he calls himself the preacher. Now, in this context, the preacher is the person as a writer, right? He's writing lessons, truths that he wants to pass on. So in this aspect, he's considered the preacher or teacher. Okay, now in chapter 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he identifies himself as the preacher. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Okay, vanities of vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. So this is his, hi, come. This is his, your sister is here. Okay, good. Yeah. And so he writes this, and basically, you know, when he says, okay, you can sit next to your brother. Yeah, no need. No, his handphone is there, so is that your handphone? Oh, a recording, okay. Yeah. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, and so he basically, the word vanities or vanities is very thought-provoking. So he sure, it's his dismal way of telling us how he saw life, but it's also a way to capture our attention, right? Vanities or vanities, all is vain. Okay, so he repeats it, and then he ends it, right? Right at the end in Ecclesiastes 12, he repeats again in verse 8 of chapter 12, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. So he captures your attention, you see? So he's a very masterful, skilled writer. Ken? You see, what do you remember of Ecclesiastes? Everything is vain. Vanity of vanity, right? At least you will remember that. Right? And then you hopefully you remember last week's lesson. Last week's lesson, what four things I said to you? What's the first one? Rejoice. Remove. Repent. No, not repair. Remove. Remove. Okay. Return. Then there's one more. Remember. Okay? I hope at least you remember the lesson. Okay? I think that's so important. So you can see that he's able to craft the lesson, the thoughts in a very strong, powerful way that we all can remember. Now, how did he go about doing it? What is he trying to do? What is the goal of what he's trying to do? One, and moreover, because the preacher was wise. Okay, verse 9. He still taught the people knowledge. Now, what is his goal? One is to pass on wisdom, obviously. He's passing on wisdom to his son. He's passing on wisdom to whomever will listen to him. Right? So, to pass on wisdom, the preacher was wise in how he taught the people. And there was much wisdom to bring across. How did he bring it? Now, you notice that when he prayed for wisdom, remember? God gave him wisdom. But that wisdom wasn't one shot, everything was given to him. Along the way, he learned. Along the way, he gained more wisdom. Can you see? It's not like overnight. Years ago, there was this show called Matrix. The Matrix. Have you all seen this show, The Matrix? Yeah, so basically, it's about how, in order to go into The Matrix, you have to load up. You can load up things. Right? And if you can load up things, straight away you become that thing in the matrix. So, did God load up the wisdom into Solomon's mind straight away? No. He had some, but he learned along the way. Okay? Now, so he passed on this wisdom and then he taught the people knowledge. Now, this is something that I've sought to do. Whoever comes, it doesn't matter who comes. Every week, I desire to bring across knowledge to you. I must pass on knowledge. Every Sunday school lesson I teach, I must pass on knowledge. I don't want to pass on views. I don't want to pass on advice. I want to pass on knowledge of God. I want to pass on knowledge how to live our life for the Lord. Can you see the key thing? Knowledge is so important. And that's how he sought to do. Now, how did he gain the knowledge? And then, of course, one of his goals is to admonish, to warn, to encourage. Okay, so these were his goals. Now, what is the process? One, he pondered. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Okay, firstly, he spent a lot of time thinking through. Okay, words, lessons, observations, he meditated on truths. Okay, he meditated on them, he thought through them, he made observations, he read the scriptures to some extent. He thought through, he meditated, he pondered. You know, one of the things that in order to be able to teach something that's deep, you need to ponder over things. That's one of the things I do. I ponder, I think through it, I grapple with it. Sometimes in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. in the morning, when I get up, I'm still pondering over what I'm going to teach. Anytime you meditate, meditation. Like in someone, it says, meditate day and night. Meditate day and night is not continuously I'm meditating all the time. You still have to work. You still have to, you know, think about other things. Meditating or pondering day and night means as natural as day come of night, night come of day. Meaning that any free time you have, any time you have, you think about it. It may be walking, it may be eating, it may be taking a bus, that's why I like taking bus. That's why I like taking public transport. It's during those times that I'm pondering. I'm meditating. right? And then in my mind, I'm working things out. So I ponder, I look at the meaning behind things, I seek to interpret, okay? Then along the way, I began to seek out. The word seek out means to examine carefully. I began to sort out things. Okay, I'm sorting out, I'm searching through, I'm examining, I'm trying to classify things. So, okay, I find a meaning. What's the next stage? I categorize them, I classify them. What goes where? You follow? And then I set in order. I arrange carefully everything into a system. Okay? So for those who are studying, you know, preparing lessons, or in time to come you will teach, or it's all, the first stage is always find the meaning, right? You're pondering, you're finding the meaning behind something. Then secondly, you categorize them. You put them into a category. And then as you put them into a category, you put the whole thing into a system. You sort them out. So basically, that's what Solomon did. Okay, do you have any questions? Okay, yeah. It can be anything. It can be anything. First things you do, first thing, you come up with a lesson or an impression or an observation, right? Something about life. Okay? Then you put in, okay, what is the meaning? How do I understand this? So you find the understanding with reference to this, right? And then along the way, you make a lot of other observations. Okay, you search. Okay, can I find out more what this is? And then you put them into categories, right? Then you set in order. You put them into a system. You search out. You examine it further. It can be anything. Give me an example. Yeah, okay. Like what? Well, give me a lesson that you're preparing. Jonah. Okay, so Jonah, you talk about Jonah. Tomorrow, is it? Yeah, okay. What about Jonah? Which part? What's the point? Okay, it's prayer. So it's a prayer of repentance, right? So you categorize. Here is one example of a prayer of repentance. There are many prayers of repentance in the Bible. There are many aspects to the idea of even praying for repentance. What does that mean? Right? So you study, okay, in what aspect is the repentance coming about? Right? Of course, he's suffering in the will. Right? He's suffering, wow, this is like hell, Hades, I mean, yeah. And then he's really suffering. And then he says, oh Lord, you know, this is really tough. I repent. Please forgive me. All right? So I'm studying this with reference to how, okay, you can also study with reference to other people's examples of repentance. And then you see, what is it that's different here? You see, there are all kinds of nuance that are being brought across, right? His part is, he's angry. He's angry because God is telling him to go to Nineveh, which he hates. The people there, he really hates them. He doesn't want them to come to believe in the Lord. So he has a, you know, problem with anger. You see, last part also, he forgives the Chinese or Hokkien saying, wei kam wan, you know. Yeah, he's not happy about it. Right? And then, even though he repented, he preached, after that he was still angry. So you got to work out the whole thing. Where is what and where? Okay, then finally you decide, okay, what do I want to teach? You follow? Yeah, so there's a repentance, but what kind of repentance? There are many different kinds of repentance. right? What is his problem? See, you got to figure out what is his problem at the end of the day. What is God trying to do with him by getting a whale to swallow him up for 3 days? What? In other words, what does it take for you to repent? Do you need God to swallow you up for 3 days and then you will repent? He really must have suffered, man. Then he said, "Oh Lord, I understand." In the midst of all the, you know, gastric juice, and you know, it must be really smelly. It was horrible. 3 days, can you imagine? And then he was vomited onto the shore. Wow. Tell the children, don't be stubborn. You stubborn, you end up like Jonah. God tells you to do something you don't want, you're so rebellious. You see, what lesson do you want to bring across? You got to sort out. You think through, right? And then you can bring out the nuance, right? All our children are stubborn. They don't listen. They want to do their own thing. Yeah. You going to emphasize that tomorrow? Okay. Yeah. Ken? Okay, so it's very important. And then he finds the right words, acceptable words. You see, okay, you have thought through it, you come out with the right interpretation, you put it into a system, it's all there, you have worked it out. That's not the end. Okay, that's not the end. Sometimes we do all the work already, okay, I've already done it. No. That's just the initial study part. The next part is finding the right words. How do you find the right words? And that is another thing. You take the time to think. Acceptable words. Acceptable meaning? What is acceptable words? What is acceptable words? The preacher sought to find acceptable words. What is acceptable? Why acceptable? Okay. They will listen? Yes. In other words, it's acceptable to men. Right? It's also acceptable to God. Two. One is with reference to God. Two is with reference to men. When you listen to it, oh wow, that's interesting. It stirs you. It encourages you. Right? Wow. That's interesting. That's enlightening. So that's how I teach. I always try to enlighten people. And that to me is so important. Okay, you want to find acceptable words, precision of words. Upright words. Upright means right, accurate, righteous, correct words. It has to be accurate, it has to be correct words. Words of truth. See, ultimately, when you teach or when you share something, when you try to evangelize to someone, what is it that you want to bring across? It's not good advice, it's not what the internet tells you. Nowadays, it's so easy. You just raise a question and AI can tell you everything. Right? Sometimes we are so... I think the world is going to be overly dependent on AI after a while. I tell you frankly, the world is just going to be dependent on AI after a while. So you don't think anymore. Which I don't. I don't prepare my message and then, can you come up with a Bible study base? I give them all the parameters. You see, the way to use AI is to come up with the right parameter. Then everything will be there for you. No, I don't. I think through every lesson on my own. Okay? Mine is not artificial intelligence, it's actual intelligence. Okay, I use my actual intelligence to think through. Right? That's the way to go. And one thing AI cannot replicate when it comes to Bible study and all, it cannot replicate depth. You cannot go beyond a certain level. You only go with reference to, okay, it seems like it's correct, but you cannot go deeper. Okay? And that is something that God gives. What ultimately we want to teach is truth. So the key thing that we want to pass on to anyone, whether it is sharing, whether it is chairing, whether it is talking to a person and trying to convert a person, whatever, whether it's preaching or teaching children, truth is what we must propagate. Now, it takes all these things, this process that you need to go through, preparation, thinking through, finding the right words, ultimately you'll find words of truth. Words that are upright, words of truth. You see, it's not easy to just come up with truth just like that. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Can you see? And so for Solomon, this was one of the things that he did. Now, we got a bit more, and then, you know, you can raise questions or we can go into, you know, groups or whatever. Up to you all. Now, he goes on to talk. Now, after you have done all that thing, everything, now he goes on to say, what is the product? Okay, let me just... rewrite the whole thing. Okay, number one, we touch on what is the purpose? What is the purpose that we want to bring across? What purpose? We want to help people to gain wisdom, knowledge, to admonish them. Purpose. Next is the process. Right? There is a process. We ponder, we seek out, we set in order, right? And then after that, we look at precision of words. We look at precision of words. And then finally, what is the product? What is the product? It says here, the words of the wise are like goats. Okay, what's a goat? Goat. Anybody? What's a goat? Yeah. To do what? To? Yes. Okay, to guide, to help, push, to lead, whatever, sheep, goat, whatever, in the right direction. In other words, the words of the wise, bottom level, at any time when you share, they should be like goats leading sheep in the right direction. So basically, when we share truths, it should lead people in the right direction. If they are going in the wrong direction, like the sheep, they always like to go astray, you guide them back. Can you see? Okay. So in India, you see this very often. Right? The fellow will carry the goat, the lamb, and then he will have a stick, and then he will be prodding the sheep along the way. There was once, not too long ago, I was in Switzerland, and I was driving, taking this, some kind of a, I don't know what it's called. Anyway, you sit in this vehicle, then you can go down the slope. And then as I was going down, there was this herd of cows, okay, being led by the farmer. And then the fella, as he was walking all over the place, you know, they like to do their business. So the road that I was going to travel, all filled with the leftovers. And, it was very hard to maneuver. But you can see the farmer really trying to get the cows to go in the right direction because they were going all over the place. They got this bell, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. You know, the Swiss bell, you can hear them. And then, wow, they were just going all over the place. And there he was holding a stick, trying to plot them in the right direction. And basically, that's what teaching, preaching does to us. Okay? He's basically using the truth, words of truth, to guide, to help people go in the right direction. And then the next one is called well-driven nails. Why nails? Why well-driven nails? Dung, 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 dung. Okay, like the clock is on a well-driven nail. Why well-driven nails? Anybody? Won't come out. Okay, won't come out. What else? The words of scholar. Now, the words of the wise, words of scholar is a higher level. Okay, so general level, words of the wise. But wow, if you can think even deeper, you come up with words like a scholar. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails. Why? Why well-driven nails? Why well-driven nails? Pierce the heart, okay. Doom! So every week I come out, doom! No. Nice try, yeah. I wish every week you all come, I take a nail, doom, 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 doom. Get this into your heart. It's not so straightforward. Why well-driven nails? Sorry? Position? Precision? Accurate? What's a nail for? Okay, you gotta ask yourself, what's a nail for? Or even a, you know, what's a nail? Like a clock, okay? There's a nail behind it. So what's the nail for? Sorry? To hold it up. It's to hang something, isn't it? It's for you to hang on to. Okay? Well-driven nails are there for you to hang on. Okay? To hang on for dear life, to hang on so that you don't fall, that you don't collapse. Right? And then if you have nails, many nails, 1, 2, 3, 4, what can you do? Bouldering. Right? You can do bouldering. You can climb. So the well-driven nails are meant for you to pull yourself up. Okay? So one is, let's get the right direction. Let's keep going in the right direction first. Go. Right? The second one is for you to hang on. To hang on and then to pull yourself up. In other words, it's for you. If you understand how this works, you can actually pull yourself up to the next level. There's always a next level. But it takes truth. It takes well-driven nails. Truth can be well-driven nails. Truth can be something that you can, you know, place on the wall and you hang on to it. And you can pull yourself up from one level to another level. I don't know whether you have come across, like, you go for a camp and then there's one word that, wow, stays with you for the rest of your life. That's a well-driven nail. I remember years ago, Pastor had many occasions, but there was one where he spoke about prayer. And he spoke from Hebrews. About how we enter in the throne of grace. Throne of mercy, throne of grace. That we can obtain mercy and grace in times of need. And that was the first time he explained that verse. Wow, I tell you, all of a sudden my idea of prayer changed. Till today, it stayed with me all these years. And it continues to guide me when I pray. Every time I pray to God, I say, Lord, as I come before your throne of grace. See, it becomes a well-driven nail. You see? And it pulls you up. It pulls you to the next level of prayer. It pulls you to the next level of walking with God. It pulls you up. Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask? Ask yourself, what's a well-driven nail that you have this year? What's one well-driven nail that you will take with you? Sanctifying the Lord God in your heart. Well-driven nail. Be holy, for I'm holy. What's a well-driven nail? What is, you know, prodding you along? Okay, every time he reminds you, go this way, go this way, go this way. It's easy for our hearts to stray. Okay? Can you see how important this is? This is how I teach, okay? I always tell people, this is the right direction you should go. And there are times when the lesson becomes a very, very thought-provoking, challenging thought, truth that penetrates your heart and your mind and your soul. And it challenges you, causes you to try to go on to the next level. Okay? Okay, stop for a while. Okay, what do you all think? Yes, Matthias. Interesting, right? Huh? How to see the whole thing? Ken, Beth? Your thoughts? Yes. Absolutely. So it's both ways, right? It's how you respond to what is being taught. Are you being guided in the right direction? Are you following the right direction? Or are you hanging on to well-driven nails? How many nails do you have on your wall? Yeah, maybe that's a good question. How many nails do you have on your wall? Okay, each one got one wall. You tell me, how many nails do you have? Go back and count. Huh? For that matter, go home, take a nail and start. Okay, this one is one thing I want to have in my life. Wah, boom. Then your dad come in. What are you doing to the wall? See, Pastor Mitch, tell me you drive through the wall. Right, go back, put a, yeah, like maybe not a nail, like put, you know, those, what, stick it or whatever. What do you call it? Post-it. Post-it, yeah, okay, post-it, stick it, post-it. Put a post-it, whatever, you know, put on the wall. What is it that you really want for your heart, your life, and your soul? Because if you don't take the time to do it, then your wall is going to be blank. Right? You, okay, honestly, go back to tonight, take, you know, a post-it, put it on the wall, ask yourself, what are well-driven nails for myself? How many you can come up with? You tell me, next week. Next week, nobody come. Right? You tell me next week, how many do you have? Because if you only have two or three, that's it. You're just going to hang on to that two or three. I've got many. My wall can do bordering. Right? I've got so many on my wall. How many do you have on your wall? Right? That's my challenge to you today. Why? Why is it so important to have all that? Okay, Audrey, did any respond? What do you think? Anything that you want to raise up? Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. This is what I do, okay, for every lesson. Every time I teach, every message I give, this is a process I go through. What is it that I would like to leave with people at the end of my teaching? So last week was Mother's Day. So my Sunday school class, all mothers. Right? So what message do I have to give to all the mothers? Do you understand what it means to be a mother, 45 years old, your children are teenagers? What is it that most mothers feel at that point of time? What do you think a mother would feel? I'm not a mother, but I can tell you, I understand how they feel. What do you think they feel? Matthias, what do you think a mother would feel? What do you think a mother would feel? 45 years old, you have teenagers, children, Mother's Day. Supposed to be happy, right? But what do you think, deep inside, what do you think a mother is feeling? Worry about the future, okay? That one, every day, not only Mother's Day, every day. What do you think a mother is feeling? And today, during SSP, one of the mothers came out and said, wow, that was a lesson that really challenged her. And it was just two words that I said to them. And I shared from Psalm 73. I told them, as mothers, don't compare. Don't compare yourself with others. Because the moment you start comparing yourself with others, you are going to have a lot of problems. You're going to sorrow. You're going to be upset. I tell you how a mother would feel. Mother feel at that kind of age is that I'm not good enough. That's how a mother feels. As I was speaking last week, some of the mothers were crying. Tears were coming into their eyes. Because I know they struggle. They really, really struggle. What does a man know about a woman? You don't know. Why? Because this. Why? At the end of it, it's not me. It's not who you are. It's how you can be an instrument that our shepherd, the Lord, can use. You see, at the end of it, as you do your part, you do it well, we read, given by one shepherd. And obviously, that shepherd is the Lord. Can you see? You are going to be that person that God is going to use to prod people. So the word probing, right, is a shepherd, right? Ultimately, who is the one that wants you to be prod in a certain direction? It's the Lord. That one shepherd is the Lord. Can you see? And God is going to use you. If you do it well, you come out with truths, and you come out with well-driven nails, you come out with prodding along the way for people, the Lord can use you to direct people's life. The Lord can use you to help people move from one level to another level. So I'm just an instrument. I'm just here as an instrument. I'm just a pastor. The Lord ultimately is going to lead them. And that's why I'm very thankful, by God's grace, the women keep coming back to my class. It's been 3 years already. What does a pastor, male man know about women? Oh, actually, if you study the scriptures, there's a lot to know. I think I understand some of them more than they understand themselves. Yeah, I don't know. How come I can understand? It's just something that God has given to me. It's a gift. It's wisdom. You do your part. You study the scriptures again and again and again and again for years and years and years and years. All of a sudden, somehow, God gives you that wisdom to know what to say, how to say it. And this morning, someone was saying, wow, don't compare. That is something that I really appreciate. Don't compare. Because the psalmist was comparing himself with others. That's why he was sorrowing. He was like a beast. Foolish. Always thinking about himself and others. And he is a servant of God. And that's the challenging part. He was struggling. That's my challenge to all of you too. Okay, homework. Go and buy. Post-it. Go and place on your wall, okay? At least 10. Ask yourself, do you have 10? What is it that you really remember? And out of 10, how many can you really hold on and pull yourself up? At this Grand Trail, this shopping center is nearby. Have you all been to Grand Trail? They have this thing called bouldering. And sometimes Pasama and I will have go there for lunch. And then we'll go up to the second floor. And then you see all these young people, trying to hang la. Don't know what they are trying to do. Right? And then, alamak, fall down to be Yeah. Two of us stand there eating ice cream. Yeah, rather be eating ice cream than see you trying to hang, trying to be a monkey. No, I don't mean that. Of course, I know it's a nice workout, but not meant for me. Why? Michelle, you do bouldering. Okay. Yeah, okay, now we do spiritual bouldering, right? How many can you hang on the wall? Please, go and do that, because we're going to come to the half the year already. Very soon, right? And then it's end. June is everybody going all on holiday and everything, so all over the place. Take the time to review now. Ask yourself, what is it they remember? Even better, what is it they remember from Ecclesiastes? So many lessons. I thought, a time for every purpose under the heavens. A time to die, a time to live, a time to rejoice, a time to sorrow. God make all things beautiful in His time. Rejoice, eat, and be merry. I think that's the only thing you'll remember. Huh? Cast your bread among many waters, and it will return to you. That's one thing I sought to practice. Cast your bread among many waters. One day it will return to you. How true that is. I've been practicing this principle for the last 30 years, and I see the truth in it. It's very true. It will come back to you in ways that you don't even imagine. Not that I want the bread to come back. Soggy bread, I don't like soggy bread. Not that I want a bread to come back, but it just comes back to you. Because that's how God rewards you. I never forgot that lesson. Whatever you find your hand to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your hands find to do, you put your heart and soul into it. Right? Sow your seed in the morning. Right? Work hard in the evening. You do not know which one God will prosper. You see, these were lessons that I have sought to practice all these years. And I've continued. I tell you, when I started reading Ecclesiastes, years ago, when I read this book by Charles Swindoll, Living on the Ragged Edge, and it was a book about Ecclesiastes. How to live, it's about working life. I don't know whether you still have it in print, but that was when I was exposed to Ecclesiastes. I said, wow, this is how we should live, man. This is how we should work. It was like first 2 years of working life. I say, this is how I'm going to work. This is my principles. Charles Swindoll used to be a very famous Christian writer, living above the level of mediocrity. Wow, that was the first book that I was so inspired by him, about living like the eagle, soaring as an eagle. Huh? There was this story told, I don't know whether it's in a book, but a story told about how there was this eaglet that was found by a farmer, and then he found it, and then he decided, okay, I'll look after it. And then he put it among the chickens. So the eaglet began being like the chick. Every day, just eat like the chick. So, you know, after a while, he became like the chicken. So he grew up, thinking he was a chicken. So you see it among the chicken, this eagle eating just like the chicken. And then one day he saw in the sky this big soaring eagle flying. Oh. And then the eagle asked the mother chicken, hen, the chicken, hen, what is that? How come he's flying? Oh, that's an eagle. You know what the hen said? You will never become like him. And the eagle continued thinking that it was a chicken. Very inspiring, right? Well, it was a story told to me when I was young. I said, wow, I want to soar like an eagle. Right? Wow, that image, when I was 22, 23, that image stayed in my mind, to soar as an eagle. Right? Living above the level of mediocrity. I didn't want to be mediocre. Finding the right words. Now, this guy, he knows how to find acceptable words. He uses very powerful words. Ken, first thing, homework. Ken, go back, go and buy. Go and put on the wall. Right? Ask yourself. And then next week, you take a picture and then you show me. How many nails do you have on your wall? Okay? Because ultimately, they all come from one shepherd. They come from the Lord as our shepherd. You see, ultimately, it is the Lord who is leading us. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 23 for a while. Do you have any questions? Anything that you want to raise up? Anybody? What do you think? Oh, Michelle, anything you want to say? Raise up. No? Since you do bouldering. Let's turn to Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, so how does God lead us? Well, this is an example of how God leads us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You see the word leading? It is repeated twice. He leads me, he leads beside the still water. There's stillness, there's provision. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. This is the right way to go. And as I walk in the right way to go, there are times when I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Right? So pastor and auntie, they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? The Lord is with them. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As the Lord led the sheep is comforted. Right? And so during the week, how many of you were praying for a pastor on Wednesday? I think all of us were. Right? It's like almost you can sense on Wednesday. It's like all of us got this connection. It's like everybody is like, okay, man, today is pastor's, wedding. No, pastor's operation with auntie. And you know what? We're all going to pray for him. It's like the whole church is united. For one day, we all prayed for him. Wow. And you can sense the anticipation. You know, people are asking, how is any updates, people were concerned. I thought that was really, really special, where the whole church came together. It's called fellowshipping in prayer. Right? And I think that was something that was very special. And you know, God heard our prayers. God heard our prayers. God was gracious and merciful. And wow, auntie, on the second day, can go home already. Wow, we all were, huh? So fast, ah? Huh? Someone commented, wow, auntie, superwoman. Oh, straight away, she was okay and she could go home already. Thank God for that. By the grace of God. Right? And you can really see that God is leading. God is there as our shepherd. And He is there to lead and to guide. Okay? 28. Psalm 28. Verse 9. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Wow. Shepherd them. Can you see? Shepherd them. Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah now. Isaiah 40. And we read. In verse 10, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm, carry them in His bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Right? Those mothers who are sheep with little sheep, or they are pregnant, gently leading them. So all these mothers in my Sunday school class, how do I lead them? Gently leading them. They are mothers with children, some of them younger children, some older ones, but gently leading them with truths. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not how intelligent one person is. It's truth at the end of the day. If you know how to ascertain truth, you can use it to bless people, to lead people, to guide people. So, at the end of the day, are we any wiser? As you learn all these things, are you any wiser? Not smarter, are you wiser? Have you gained more wisdom? Because this is a book of wisdom. Are you wiser? Or are you still doing the same old thing? Or are you now more focused? Are you now more, you know, stronger in your faith? Are you moving up to the next level? Or are you still the same? Since day one when we studied, at least just this till now, there's not much change. Are you wiser? Are you wiser? That's my challenge to you. Another challenge. Are you wiser? Bottom line, have you gained more wisdom? Not just gaining more wisdom, but are you wiser? Wisdom is one thing, but what is a wise man? A wise man is someone who hears the word and practices it. That is truly wisdom. Wisdom is never just something in your mind or understand, or something clever or something that is wise, so-called. To me, at the end of the day, wisdom, or a wise man, is someone who actually gets down to practicing the word. It becomes part of you. And that is when we can say we are wiser. Can you see? Right? So are you wiser? Or are you still the same? If you are still the same, then you have gained nothing. You're still foolish. Are you wiser? It's good. It's good to ask yourself these questions, because we're going to finish the lesson. Next week is going to be the last lesson, and then that's it. I think it's good for all of you to review. For some of us, we've been here, you know, not so long. For some of us, we've been here since day one. For some of us, we came along the way. Whatever lesson you learn. The good thing about studying the book of Ecclesiastes is that you can start anywhere and then we can continue from there. Because this is a book of proverbial sayings. Right? Are you any wiser? Okay, thirdly, I think it's so important to think through the whole idea of ascertaining truth. Do you know how to ascertain truths? It's not so straightforward. It's not just taking something that you hear and then pass it on. Sure, I mean, when you are young, you can do that. But as you grow older, as you teach, I think it's important for us to ponder, to think through, to reflect, to craft up your thoughts. Sometimes we don't craft out our thoughts. And because you don't craft out your thoughts, you don't go deeper. You keep thinking the same thoughts all the time. So this is an example of a person who crafts out his thoughts. He thinks through it. His life may not be the very best, but at least we've got to give it to him that he's an example of a person who really thinks through things. Do you craft out your thoughts? Biblically. Right? Don't let your thoughts be run to, you know, all over the place. Focus. Craft out your thoughts. Reflect. Think through. Right? And then the more you are able to ascertain truths, the more these things will become part of you. Craft out your thoughts. Right? First, are they well-driven nails? Fine. You know, really, take the time. What are well-driven nails that you have? Oh, okay. Chloe, what is one well-driven nail that you have? So let it be a well-driven nail, right? Don't let it be in vain. See, God will speak to us in different ways, right? And then along the way, how are you going to respond? See, there are many, many. One of them was during camp, during my class, one of them said, oh, this whole idea of getting up early in the morning. So I taught the whole idea of sanctifying the Lord and about getting up early in the morning and then spending time with God. And I told everyone that the challenge is, you know, if God gives you 24 hours, how are you going to justify if you cannot give back to Him half an hour? And I know, I just mentioned that, and somehow that spoke to people's heart about spending time with God. And there was one mother who said, wow, that really spoke to me. And, you know, she's been trying to practice it, and along the way, she finds that her character began to change. She doesn't shout as much as to her children. She treats her husband better. Right, which is good for the husband. Thank God. Right? And her part is, you know, I really want to sanctify the Lord God in my heart. Okay, take the time. What's a well-driven nail? Okay, two, are you wiser? As we come to the end of this book, are you wiser? Not just are you, you know, having more wise understanding, but are you really wiser? And three, are you taking the time to craft out your thoughts biblically, correctly? See, that's my challenge to you. Do it. You got to do it the right way. If you really want to be effective, if you really want to share truths like goats and well-driven nails, you really got to put the time and effort into preparing. You know, like, okay, Audrey, you're going to teach at camp. Prepare well. Think through it. Interact. Go through it again and again and again and again. until you know where you want to go. And you yourself are inspired by what you... You see, if you want to teach something that doesn't inspire you, how are you going to inspire the children? First, you have to inspire yourself. If you cannot inspire yourself and nothing happens to you, then what you teach is not going to happen for a lot of the children. You have to inspire yourself first. I memorized this, right? And the preacher was wise. He taught the people knowledge. And what was written was upright. He pondered, he sought out, set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words. And what was written was upright words, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goats. The words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. See, I memorized. So it's not just something I'm going to teach. It's something that I practice for years. Can you see? And that's why what I'm teaching is truth. At the end of the day, truth is when it comes from your life. Truth is not just something I know. It comes from your life. It has permeated your life. It has gone through your life. You have thought through it and you have lived it out. And people can see it from your life. That is truth. Okay? Okay, any other questions you want to ask? Okay, if not, just a reminder for everyone, 27th, we are going to have a gathering. Our YAG outing, and all of you are invited. Please sign up today, Ken, because we need the numbers. We need to confirm. Okay? Okay, if not, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes, where we have learned many, many lessons about life, about work, about you, and how to fear you. We pray, dear Lord, that even as we learn about how to ascertain truth, we pray that, Father, you will guide us and help us. Help us, Lord, to find well-driven nails for our lives that we can hang on to, that we can bring ourselves from one level to another. Help us, O Lord, to also be wiser, to not just know these things, but to practice these things in our life. And further, we pray also that we can craft out our thoughts, to reflect, to think through, until these thoughts become truths. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless us and guide us and be with us in a very special way as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.